Please note that this podcast contains references to conflict-related violence, including sexual violence. Listener discretion is advised. 25 years ago, the world made a promise to protect women in conflict and to ensure they could lead the way toward peace. For the Women, Peace and Security event, we spoke with six remarkable individuals about this shared mission. This six-episode series brings you those conversations in full. In this episode, Ella van den Heuvel from the Netherlands.
I am Commander Ella van den Heuvel, Women, Peace and Security Ambassador of the Dutch Armed Forces.
What drew you first to military and armed forces, and what kept you there?
Being in the military, being part of the military, gives me the opportunity to be part of a very, very, very big system that is working on making this world a safer place.
What was the moment you were like, oh, maybe this is the journey I want to make?
Why I chose for the military is because I see this as something, how you can contribute to peace. How can I do this? So by becoming part of the military, I thought maybe this is the place for me to be, the place for me to work. And I have always felt that it was the right choice.
How played gender a role in your journey?
When I was young and started working in the Dutch Armed Forces, I wasn't aware of the fact that gender was playing a role. I was conforming myself to the standard behavior. And it was only later that I understood that that standard behavior was quite masculine. I felt that there was nothing wrong with it, but I was also not aware of the fact that it was maybe not as inclusive as it should be. It is so important that all of us, women and men working in the military, female and male soldiers, can be themselves, can get the best out of themselves to perform at their best. And for that, you need an inclusive culture.
In what way, how far are we when it comes to the inclusive culture?
We see an increasing integration of women in the armed forces. We operate more than ever in mixed teams. That is completely normal, and most of us understand that that is the most effective way of going forward. We see more and more gender advisors, gender focal points. That is now more common. It's more common in our organizations at home, but also in missions. We see more and more leaders embracing the WPS agenda, so the Women, Peace and Security agenda, which all started with Security Council Resolution 1325. And we are more and more recognizing that integrating the gender perspective into our work is important in order to do a better job. We recognize that female military and police personnel can contribute differently to the engagement with local communities. And then in terms of credibility, access to the communities, and building trust. And I have seen this with my own eyes. I have experienced this with my own eyes. When engaging with local communities, for example, in the occupied territories of Palestine or in the south of Lebanon or in Afghanistan, you see that when we are working in mixed teams, then when we are working there with men and women, shoulder to shoulder in teams, trying to get in contact with the local communities, it is much easier when we have women on board as well.
What do you think is the power of women that you've experienced yourself in the military and forces?
We often say that it's the women who are more able to build trust or to communicate better with the local communities, but that is not always true. Men can do that as well. But it is because of traditions, religion, etc., that it's often, of course, much easier for women to get in contact with local women in the areas where we operate. And yes, in some cases, women are better communicators, but men are good communicators as well. But what is true and what I've always felt is that wherever I am or wherever I've been, when I get in contact with the local women, I quickly feel a sort of bonding. And that is something special. That is something special women to women can feel. And I think that is such, that has such a great value. And that is also something that we really need if we work wherever we work, because we need to get in contact with the local community in the best way as we can. We need their trust. We need their information. We need their support. And we need to cooperate with each other because we cannot do it alone. So by working on getting the best access to the local population, we need to work in mixed teams.
What do you wish that other colleagues and people see about the power of women and how they need to be supported?
In fact, it is unbelievable that we do not see yet how powerful women, wherever in the world, wherever they are, in the most horrible situations, you always find strong women. I cannot believe that we do not see how powerful it will be if we include all their voices and if we include them in everything that we are trying to achieve, in peace, reconstructing their countries, their voices, their power. Why do we still not see how they can make a difference? Maybe we see it a little bit, but we don't recognize their power yet. We do not recognize how strong they are and how much they can contribute to peace in the world.
And in what way do you think like fear of women plays a role as well?
What I have seen, if we operate with our troops, for example, that sometimes my male colleagues were afraid to make mistakes. That's why they were very much on their toes if we were talking about engaging with women or with women's groups. Sometimes the women, for example, the women in Afghanistan, they told me, stop being over cultural sensitive. We need to be heard. We want to be involved. Please, you know, please. Come to us, listen to us, involve us, invite us to our camps as well. And of course, then us military women, we were needed. We were needed to give them access to the base, to receive them at the base without being seen with other men. But once they were at the base, most of them were more than willing to be heard and to talk to our female, but also male colleagues. The mistake that we often make is that we take the decisions of how dangerous it is for them to be involved in something or to invite them to certain meetings. It is their right to take their own decisions. It's their choice to say yes or no to an invitation to the table. It's their choice to say yes or no if we invite them to a meeting. It is their choice to say yes or no if we invite them to our camps to be involved in creating plans or having talks about how we can make their country, their region, their village a more safe and secure place.
Was there a moment in your career or maybe multiple moments when you were on missions, an experience that you saw that inclusion definitely could make a difference?
There are many examples, but the first example that comes up is that when I was deployed in a UNIFIL in the south of Lebanon, I was joining a team that was having a meeting with representatives from the municipality of a certain village. I was part of the team. I was the only woman in uniform with 6 military male colleagues, and we were having this meeting. There were 4 local men around the table, and we were talking about the safety and security situation in their village and beyond. At a certain point, I asked the chair of the meeting, a local village leader, where are the women? Where are the women at this table? And what did he say? He said, oh, do you want me to get one of our women working at our municipality? I said, yes, please. And I think it was only 5 or 10 minutes later, a woman who was part of the municipality working there with the male colleagues, she was brought to the table and she was included in the conversation. This showed me again that people often think that it's not easy to find the women, to invite them to the table, to get access to women. But it is not true. But the only thing you have to realize is that you have to do a step extra often to get them to the meeting. It is us who can support this. We are not pushing them, but we are inviting them. And women all over the world are waiting for these invitations. And it's us who should realize more than we do now to do the best that we can to invite them to the table.
Were there also moments that you felt you had to prove yourself differently or you were not included?
There is something with women in uniform, women in the military. It is strange, but true, that we, women in the military, are often seen as a woman first and then a soldier, instead of the other way around. It is not always the case, and it is getting better, especially in our armed forces. But I know from many armed forces, from many militaries where I work together with, that this is a big struggle for women. They should be seen as soldiers, but often they are being seen as woman first, second soldier. And this should be changed.
What do you think? What do you wish for that's going to happen?
If we look at the implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 1325 and the Women, Peace and Security Agenda, over these 25 years, yes, we've seen real achievements, luckily, but progress has been so slow. There is still a very long way to go to embed all the Women, Peace and Security principles into our military culture, into the operations, and into decision-making. Gender is still treated as an add-on, and it's often not being seen as a critical factor of our operations. Gender perspectives rarely shape core operational decisions. And intelligence and threat assessments, which we do a lot, yes, often lack gendered analysis. So how can we then do our work in the best way? Also, what we still see is that militaries, they still struggle how to integrate the gender perspective into their operations and how it contributes to operational effectiveness. And this is why making our militaries all over the world more gender aware is key. That is the most important thing that we need to do, that we need to keep on working on.
Until now, what are you most in your journey and to all your experience? What are you most proud of?
I am very proud that we see more and more militaries opening up for women. For example, I work quite a lot in the Middle East. And also there you see now that more and more women have the opportunity to choose for a job in security services. And the fact that they have the choice to be part of the security services and the fact they can do that work as well is for me a great thing to see. But I also, what makes me happy as well, is that we see that the Women, Peace and Security agenda is in most militaries in the world on the agenda. And you see more and more militaries having gender action plans, Women, Peace and Security action plans. Of course, it is true that having a plan is number one, implementation is number two. But then what we see is that they ask for support. We give each other support. So you see countries who are supporting and helping each other in implementing this agenda, in implementing the gender action plans. That is real progress to me.
At this moment, what is the thing you are working on?
I am very thankful to our leadership of the Dutch Armed Forces that when I asked for the position that I now have, that I got a full yes. At the moment, I am the Women, Peace and Security Ambassador of the Dutch Armed Forces. And my main task is to say yes to requests from countries all over the world who are asking for support on how to implement the Women, Peace and Security agenda. For example, they ask for support to train people. They ask for support to deliver their first gender focal point training. They ask how we are working together within the National Action Plan group in the Netherlands, which is a very strong group. We are working collectively in the Netherlands on integrating the Women, Peace and Security agenda in everything we do. I'm very proud of the fact that I am now in a position that we can say yes to all the requests that we got from other nations to support them or help them in moving forward in implementing their WPS agenda.
Like, you've seen so many stories. Like, what do you think is important that survivors or victims or people with a lot of conflict in their region, like, what do these women need to see from their own power?
It's not the women themselves. They know how powerful they are. It is us. When does the moment come that we are going to see these women as actors of change? The women know how powerful they are. And many of us know how powerful they are. But their voices need to be heard. And it's not the voices that we are used to listen to. But we need to go down to the grassroots level. We need to go down to where it happens. There we need to listen to their voices. Their power. That is not the question. It is us. We should ask ourselves the question, why are we not listening to them and acting in an inclusive way? We have to recognize their power. Sometimes still, we tend to see women as victims. Yes? It became better to call them survivors. But what we really should emphasize is that we should see them and call them as actors of change. The power is in the women. There is no doubt. But it's us to recognize that power. And it's us who have to make sure that we use that power. That is what we need to see in this world.
Like, how do you still keep that hope and that fire that you have while you have seen lots of things like I can never imagine?
I truly believe from the bottom of my heart that working on the implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 1325 and the whole Women, Peace and Security agenda is the only way forward to create a better world for everyone. That is my drive. It is so simple. Doing what we need to do, less talking, more doing, and from a military perspective, the world that I am living in, the world that I'm working in, yes, it really starts with making all our personnel more gender aware, making them understand why the Women, Peace and Security agenda matters and how they can integrate the gender perspective in everything they do. And it's that how. We need to help them with the how. That is our task. Our task as gender advisors and Women, Peace and Security advisors. We need to help them with that.
Have you had moments that you sometimes lost that? Or what is the other side of this powerful, like all the powerful missions you do?
Like everyone who is working in this field, the field of Women, Peace and Security, the role of a gender advisor. Like everyone, I had and I still have these moments that I think, my goodness, Why do those people still not understand it? Why do they still think gender is the code word for women? Why do they still think gender is positive discrimination for women? Why do they not understand that including everyone's voice is the best thing that we need to do? Why do they still think sometimes that working on gender is an add-on and is not a critical part of our operational progress? Why do they not understand this? My goodness. So yes, sometimes I scream and sometimes I've been crying, but that never took long, because what this needs is dedication and strength and keeping that drive to make progress. So yes, I've had my sad moments, and I still have them every now and then, when I see and I feel that people don't understand it. But once they understand it, or once I have the opportunity to explain it well, or just to give a session on gender awareness, which only takes 50 minutes, and I see those minds changing, and I see the gender antenna just rising, and then I tell them, and now that gender antenna is out and you cannot push it back, that makes me happy. And this is my drive, and will always, always be my drive. Yes.
Like, where did you get like this positivity and this power from? Did you have that from a young age, or how, where is it? What's your secret?
Maybe my father. Yes, I think my father. My father was a real leader. My father did everything he could do for the local community. I've seen that as a child. He has always believed in us, my three brothers and me, the little sister. He has been an inspiration to me. And he gave me the trust, the power, my self-confidence. And I believe it is him who inspired me to always stand up for justice, maybe as well, yeah. My father has done a lot. He became 95 years old. If you see what he has done for the community, it's unbelievable. I asked him a few weeks ago, how did you do this? What was your drive? And he said it was seeing injustice made him feel and believe that he had to work on serving the local community. Why I am still so passionate about women, peace and security, about 1325, it's my mission in life. It became my mission in life.
So if I would ask you the same you ask your father, what makes you doing this every day?
Because I really believe in the power of women. I really believe in the Women, Peace and Security agenda and all its goals. I really believe that when we start to include women equally in everything we do in this world, that this world then can become a better place. A more peaceful world. We can only achieve this if we include the women in an equal way as we do the men. Women and men, only together, we can make this world a better place. Not without the voices of the women. Not. Then we will never achieve it.
You will probably inspire the next generations as well a lot. But what do you hope that they take from you when they have a masterclass, or when you talk to them? What do you hope they inherit from you, the next generation of officers?
The only way forward in this world is a road to peace that is accessible for all. And only if we use the available skill sets of everyone who would like to participate, then we will achieve things. When I am standing in front of a group of either military colleagues, for example, in Lebanon, yes, what I hope always is that they really start to understand how important it is, yes, to embrace the Women, Peace and Security agenda, how important it is to integrate the gender perspective into the operations, to make the operations more effective. If you give them the right example, you see that then they get it, because this is not complicated. It is not complicated at all. You only have to understand it. You only, someone needs to explain it well to you. Then you get it. And once you get it, you will never lose it.
But is there like a misconception about the resolution 1325? Do you think there are certain misconceptions about it? Or people underestimate the power of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, there are still lots of people who do think when you are a gender advisor that you are pushing for emancipation, that you are bringing Western values to different places. But this is not the case. The only thing that we need to do as gender advisors or women, peace and security advisors is asking this question: how can we support you? We are not telling other countries or other militaries, this is what you need to do. No. Once they start working on women, peace and security, once they start with gender advisors or gender focal points, or once they start working on gender action plans, once they show that they want to work on this, that they want to work on the women, peace, security agenda, that they want to implement 1325, and they ask us for support, then the only question for us is, how can we support you? We are not going to tell them what to do. We are helping them in the how, if they ask us that question. So the misconception still under many people is that we are trying to push for things that other countries are not ready for. Well, what I know from working in this field for a very long time is that most of the women all over the world are more than ready, but it is their surroundings, it is the situation that they are in, that there is not that opportunity for them to sit at that table or to get it on the agenda. My dream is that, for example, in our armed forces, yes, the Women, Peace and Security agenda is 100% part of our values. What we should do is we should all make the Women, Peace and Security agenda part of our personal values, our organizational culture, and our operational activities. We should make the implementation of the Resolution 1325 and the WPS agenda priority number one. Number one. We are working for peace. What do we want to see? A peaceful world. Yes. But inclusive peace means that all voices, especially those marginalized, are meaningfully involved in peace processes. Without women, no peace. Without men, no peace. It's only the men and the women, all of us together, who can bring peace to this world.
What you spoke on before, that you said we need more female peacekeepers.
Yeah.
Is it like currently that you're looking for that, or what is the process on that?
We need more female peacekeepers, yes. We need more females in the militaries. So we can work in mixed teams and we can bring in all the different perspectives. In that way, we will come to better solutions, and we are getting to better solutions. Do we make progress? Yes, we do. And that makes me very happy. All over the world, we see the percentages of women working in security services increasing. It makes me happy because we need them in order to do our work in a better way. But also, it means that those women have the choice to do this profession, to say, hey, I also want to be part of this. I want a job as a soldier. I want a job in security services, and that they then have the opportunity to be part of it. And that is the progress that we are seeing. Is it going fast? Of course not. Progress is going slowly, but there is progress, and it really makes me happy.